think a little of one.
Never to say it. What a couple
of times. Let's get back to this again. There's not a shadow of his former self. He says, really good. We've missed you, mate. Really good to see you. Yeah. And just another people I haven't seen before, some new faces. So a really warm welcome to you. And I hope that you enjoy your time here with us this morning. Don't let us after. Have a chat and get to know people. It's lovely to see you here today. So I want to talk about words today. Right? Words are really important. Words can express how we feel. They can help us communicate. And sometimes they can make us laugh. And sometimes they can make us cry. So I thought I'd find a few interesting words to start off with. You know that well-known proverb, an apple a day? An apple a day keeps anyone away if you throw it hard enough. A new take on an old version. Synonym. What's a synonym? No. English spelling is crazy. I keep doing this and sometimes my poor students have this spelling for them. You get different sounds like rough and cough. And it's the same letters but completely different sounds. The synonyms are very useful. I finally realize that people are prisoners of their phones. Are you a prisoner of your phone? That's why it's called a phone. I had to say that one in there. So spelling makes all the difference. I found a few nice signs. These are all real signs, because everything on the internet is real, as you know. Yeah. So we can pick the next one. What kind of meeting is going on in this room? Could be true, couldn't it? As a teacher, you love to get compliments from your students. This is an awesome. As a few people say, no, there's nothing wrong with that English, it's perfect. Look at the first word. You're the best teacher ever. I think you need to study a bit more. Thank you. Okay, when the examination is going on, it's very important that people can concentrate. So you need to. Type, please. Exams in progress. The next thing is I'm giving memories of the frog print stores. Private, customer parking only, all others. Will be paid. And the next one is wonderful. You know what parking's like, especially if you have to go to Auckland City, it's really hard and expensive. If all the problems have been solved now. Illegally parked cars will be fine. No problem at all. The next one, yummy, my favorite. You like a nice cup of. If you don't live with the back, it's supposed to be sweet tea, but it says sweat tea. A different flavor, definitely, huh? But God has created us to be relational beings. We love to chat, we love to communicate with each other. Could be family, friends, colleagues, classmates, whatever. We're people that just need to talk and need to communicate. It's inbuilt. We're made in the image of God. So it could be verbally. So these are all ways that we can have verbal communication. And so some of you know all of them, and some of you know some of them. Some modern, some older. What's a few of the ones on there to help us? What are some of the logos there from? The Instagram one. Messenger. Skype. Yeah. Zoom's come a lot in the last year or so with lockdown. So we find different ways, if it's face to face or not, we find different ways to communicate verbally. And on the next slide, if in writing, that's another way of communicating. It could be the old fashioned wonderful letter by hand, text messages, again, different online apps, emails. Some people still write birthday cards instead of e cards. But we find different ways to communicate with each other in whatever way that is. And psychologists have studied the whole area of human communication, and they agree that relationships actually help us in lots of ways. I want to read a quote that I found online. Research on the benefits of social connection has generally focused on the importance of strong ties, or the intimate relationships we have with family and close friends. That's obvious, but a growing body of research is shedding light on the hidden benefits of casual acquaintances. Surprisingly, these weak ties, like funny colleagues, for example, can serve important functions such as boosting physical and psychological health and battling against stress and loneliness, research has found. The study has shown even just basic simple interaction, saying hello to somebody at the checkout, is good for you. Just making eye contact with somebody just makes you feel so much more human and connected. So give you a challenge this week, say hi to someone you don't know. You might be surprised. You might take up a conversation. Yeah. But the good news is that God also loves to speak to us as well. Because we're made in God's image. And we're going to look at Psalm 19 today. And that psalm focuses on two main ways that God speaks to us. The first is through creation, and the second is how God speaks to us through the Bible, through His Word. That's the two parts. I'm going to focus more on the Bible, but also the creation side. Romans 10, 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. And Paul also said in Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, the preaching of the teachers. There's something special about hearing God's Word read to us and spoken aloud. So hearing God's Word builds our faith. So we're going to do that now. Today's reading is actually going to be on a video clip, so if you want to follow in your Bibles or on the screen, it's from Psalm 19. This was written by David in about 1015 BC. So Psalm 19, let's take that now, please.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched the tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are much more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. When keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern our own error? To give minds of insight. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my Rock and my Redeemer.
A beautiful psalm, eh? So just going to add a little bit on the first part on creation and then look a little bit more at God's Word. So a quick little quiz for you, some fun animal facts. God has made some pretty amazing creatures in the world, and thanks for you to test your general knowledge. Octopuses. click on that one. Okay, octopuses have. How many have? Okay, three. Any of them can see? Two? Can you see the answer? Good, you took a new one. Apparently, octopuses have three halves. Isn't that amazing? Snails can sleep for, they don't, but they can sleep for each at a time. Any ideas? 24 what? 24 days? 6 months? Just more. A year? Just more. 10 years? No, you're getting too much. Okay, can you say the answer? Yeah, apparently, this is again verified on the internet, that snails can sleep for 2-3 years at a time. Sometimes that would seem really nice on a cold winter morning, wouldn't it? Reindeer eyeballs turn blank in winter to help them see at lower light levels. Turn black? No, you're right, it's a colour though. Red? Okay, you can tell the answer. Blue. So next time you're walking out in the winter and see a reindeer, just go and check it by. Turn blue. Anteaters. Next picture of an anteater at the bottom. Anteaters don't have teeth, is the correct answer. They don't need to. Apparently ants are nice and stuffy. You check them up, you don't need any teeth. So anteaters don't have teeth. Hasn't God made such a beautiful variety of creatures in creation? The last one, zebra stub, acts as a natural camouflage would be good. Yep, that's not the answer. Sunscreen? Okay, can you say the answer? Insect repellent. Okay. So wear your party clothes when you're out in the bush. Yeah. I just put those in there just again to show us the incredible variety that God has put in creation. The detail that He took in crafting that, and if you look at them, you say, wow, God, you're amazing what you've made. And God speaks to creation with so much variety and beauty. You've probably got your own favourite parts of creation that you enjoy. I love birds. I took the train to the city this week and I heard the sound of a bird on the train. And you think sometimes people have an app on their phone or a ringtone. It wasn't, it was a persistent bird sound. I looked up and there was a fan tail on the train. It must have gone in through the doors when the train stopped. It was flying up and down the carriage and sitting on the top. It was coming, it came right above me at one stage and then flew away. It was beautiful. It could be vastness of desert, or it could be flowers or plants, it could be animals. Animals, the big mountains. So how about you? What parts of nature do you enjoy the most? Just have a quick turn to the person next to you. What's your favourite part of nature and God's creation? Just have a quick chat to the person next to you. What do you enjoy most? Let's watch another short clip now. And again, it's not just a clip to fill space in a sermon. I hope it's something that will just inspire you to look at what God has done, what God has created, and how magnificent it is, and to lead us to say, wow, God, you're amazing. So next clip, please. I'm keeping Anna very busy this morning on the computer. Thank you, Anna. great that God is beautiful. Let's look at the second part of the psalm now. It's quite a long psalm, so I'm not going to focus on every verse, but just a few. So through the Bible, we get to know the author of the world, God himself. I think that's the primary purpose of getting to know God, the author of the Bible, but there are also benefits for us in looking at God's word. So let's look at some of these together. Remember, God wants to speak through creation, but God also wants to speak through his word. I'm going to start out with verse, Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul." Isn't a beautiful word? The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. I looked up perfect. I don't know what it means, but some of the definition in either way. The dictionary said, "As good as it is possible to be." So God's word can't be any better. It's perfect. And we sometimes strive for perfection. We can find out a few things. The perfect cake. The one I haven't made. You've got the perfect score. And the right word, amazing. Be a perfect person in just 3 days. Only $2.99. Something doesn't quite add up there. Doesn't quite match. But people get that tend to try to be perfect. We try to be as good as we can. But God's word is perfect. He doesn't have to try to be perfect. He's automatically perfect. But unlike our words, God's words are perfect. So do you remember how verse 7 8 continues? The law of the Lord is perfect. Remember from the slide before? Refreshing the soul. Yeah, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. We've got to be thinking about when do we need refreshing? And it could be in times of stress, could be in times of weariness or struggle. That's when we need to let God's word refresh us. For example, on the screen from Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's an active thing. "Come to me," Jesus said, "and I will give you rest." Our part is to come to God. I know, as we've said before, some people in the church are going through a pretty difficult time at the moment. We've had some sickness, we've had some bereavement, and it's pretty tough, I know, for a lot of people. But God's word says, John 14, for example, 27, "My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives, but my peace I give to you." So come to God and say, "Lord, I need your peace." That's our part, that's the practical part. God's word is there, it's a promise for us. You could come to him and say, "Lord, please, I need your peace. It's hard at the moment. Please give me your peace." So verse 7, the second part, 7b, says, "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." And trust is so key in relationships. It's hard when trust is broken. So we need trust. And we know the Bible says, "The statutes, the word of the Lord, are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Okay, so the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. That's the next part. I'll keep you on your toes. Next part was making wise the simple. And we probably don't like being referred to as simple. If somebody says you're simple, you might think, "Oh, that's not nice." And I think I am a bit simple sometimes. Especially when you look at the Bible, sometimes you look at some passages of Scripture and you think, "Oh, what's that talking about?" But we ask God to give us wisdom to understand his word. We know it's trustworthy. And we pray and ask God to open his word for us, then we can get that understanding that makes us wise. And we can get that, "Aha, that's what that means." That's why we need to be reading God's word and doing devotional time, understanding God's word more, making us wise. Verse 8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." Our thinking sometimes is not right. I don't know about you, but sometimes we can think thoughts which are not right, things about ourselves. Maybe you thought this, or somebody said to you, "Why am I so stupid? Why did I do that? Again, you wouldn't like me if you really knew me. I'm not good at anything, I'm pretty useless actually. How many times am I going to make the same mistake?" God couldn't possibly forgive me for X. And it's easy to get stuck in negative thought patterns. But remember, the precepts of the Lord are right. How does it continue? Giving joy to the heart. So it's not thinking right. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, often not. But God's word is always right. If I'm feeling bad about my appearance or the way I look, I can look to the Psalms, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the truth that God says to us. We've got to take God's word, think on them, meditate on them, and say, that's the truth. My thinking is not always right. God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that good? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Nobody loves me. You might think that. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love is never going to stop. People's love changes, but God's love is everlasting. And God won't forgive me. That is the Bible says. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the truth. And the result? Joy to the heart. Our own thinking leads us down a trail of worry and negativity. Come back to God's word. Thank you, Lord. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Put a smile on your face. Thank you, Lord. You love me. Your love's never going to fail. Thank you, Lord. Even though I did this wrong, I say sorry to you. You died for me and you forgive me. That's the good news of the gospel. There's joy in being a Christian. And the Mickey Gumbel from the Alpha Course said he thought when he became a Christian he'd have to give up on all his joy and happiness, but the opposite is true. He's more joyful now than he ever was before. So verse 8, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. And what do you think of when you think of the word radiant? Some pictures there, radiant is shining like rays. But God's word shines forth like a bright light. There's no darkness in God's word at all. There's plenty of darkness around us, but there's no darkness in God's eyes at all. So the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. I'm repeating these, so hopefully you'll remember them. We're giving light to the eyes. So for me, when I think about light to the eyes, if you say somebody's got light in their eyes, it thinks to me about hope. Which means you can look in people's eyes and you can get sometimes a pretty good picture of how the person is feeling. When there's light there, you think, oh, this person is doing well. When they're confused or distressed or worried, I can often see in their eyes. Some people wear sunglasses all the time. You can't see their eyes. But God's word restores that hope and brings light back to us. It's an oft quoted verse from Jeremiah 29:11. I think I mentioned it last week as well. It can be a cliche sometimes, but it can. But I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Again, at the moment, I know some of us are struggling, and it's easy to lose hold of our hope. But let me tell you, church family, with God, there is always hope. There is the cross, but after the cross, there is a resurrection. Amen. So the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Now, a question for you, is it okay to be open and honest before God? Really? Sometimes we know that theoretically, but in our own life sometimes we might think we need to be all prim and proper when we come before God. If you think that, then please read the Psalms. I'm working through the Psalms at the moment. The Psalms, sometimes you think, whoa, David's pretty bold in the words that he says to God. This is from Psalm 38:9-10. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pines, my strength fails me, even the light from my eyes has gone. That sounds like a pretty hard day. David, and we have days like that. And the Bible gives us permission to talk to God like that, to say how we're really feeling. Because he knows anyway. We can come before God honestly. Psalm 142. I cry aloud to the Lord, I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy, I pour out before him my complaint. Lord, why? Why does that happen? That's okay, God's big enough to take that before him. I tell my trouble. So come to God honestly. We love to hear our hearts. And just briefly a few more verses. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. Verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They're pure, nothing corrupt or deceptive. We can just know that God's word is pure, enduring forever. God's word will stand the test of time. Our words will pass away, the word of the Lord will stand forever. It's firm and cannot be shaken like a rock. God is our rock, and it's righteous, nothing wrong or false. God's promises are 100% dependable. So it comes a beautiful verse. God's words, God's promises are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, and honey from the honeycomb. I looked at the latest prices of gold. At the moment, 1 kilo of gold is worth $64,353.14 for 1 kilo. Nothing. God's word, much more precious than gold. In human terms, we like the sparkly, the bling, but God's word is much stronger and sweet. Sometimes you have God's word, you meditate on it, and you think on it again. But sweetness is there. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Verse 11, by them, which is again God's promises, your servant is warned, and keeping them may great reward. But God's word sometimes is there to serve as a warning to us. Don't do that, and don't do that. And it's easy for us to focus on that and say, oh, God's just a killjoy, he doesn't want me to do that and that and that. But it's not like that at all. It's like a good parent giving guidelines and boundaries for the children. Don't do that, I don't want you to get hurt, because I love you. Don't touch the hot fireplace, because you'll burn your home. I have to include some more words. So sometimes God says, don't go that way, go back again. Sometimes we have guidance, go that way, because it's much better for you. Sometimes when we're praying, God will say, no, not yet. Sometimes it will be wait, and sometimes it will be yes. And more times, God. These are real signs on the internet again. So if I turn back to our review, caution, slow men at work. Have you seen it on the streets of Patacore? If you hit this sign, you will hit that page. Very clever. So a quick recap on the main verses again. This is your turn to help me again. So Psalm 19:7, the first part says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Refreshing the soul. I love that verse. I want my soul to be refreshed. How can I get my soul refreshed? Spending time in God's word. 7b, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple, giving us understanding. Yep. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Kevin, the top student of the letter. Yeah, giving joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. You know, a nice feeling when you get light in your eyes and you're feeling joyful? God's word does that for us. So I was looking for some survey figures online. I found one from the Bible Society. These figures have probably changed a bit because I see the date there is 2009. This is the most recent survey I could find from the Bible Society. I've got some blanks for you. Around blank of all Kiwis identify as Christian in the broader sense of the word, but few regularly read the Bible or study as found. What do you reckon that number might be? 49? Yeah, amazing, isn't it? You can see the answer, please, isn't it? Around half. would identify as Christian. I don't know exactly what that means, but then half the people say, yeah, I'm Christian. A Bible Society in New Zealand survey says 36% of people identify as Christian, but just read the Bible daily. 5%, you got it, got on. 5% of Christians read the Bible daily. This is in New Zealand in 2009. I'm not going to ask you how often you read the Bible daily. So 5% read the Bible daily, and only how many weekly? 10 would be pretty optimistic. 6%, only 6% weekly. Not very much, is it? Yeah. Next one is that owning a Bible. Well, something percent of New Zealanders own a Bible. You're pretty good at this. Yeah, you can see the answer on the face. Nearly 70% own a Bible. It doesn't mean they read it. They have one somewhere in the house, or in a box in the garage, or somewhere. Only blank percent of those read it at least once a month. We can see the answer. Yeah. 23 read it at least once a month. Yeah. We need food every day, every time. We need God's food as well. Once a month is a pretty high diet. Okay? So I say these things not to be judgmental at all. It's easy to have guilt and say, I must read my Bible. That's not what I'm saying today. So let's read the Bible not out of guilt, not because we have to, but because it's actually really good for us. The Bible is there to bless us with God's word to us. Let's be people who treasure the word of God. It's a precious thing. If you hear stories in some countries where people actually don't have the Bible, there's so many languages the Bible hasn't been translated into, and there's still countries where the Bible is not allowed. We've got it, let's treasure it. Let's know the way God wants us to live. The Bible's got so many answers for life for us, telling us how God wants us to live. Let's know God's promises to help us when we need it. That's true when we read Scripture. The Scripture's in us, and the Holy Spirit can bring back those words to us in situations when we need them. You find yourself thinking of a Bible verse that speaks to you in that situation because we've got it in us, because we've read it for some time in God's Word. Let's know what God's Word says when other people ask. You might be in conversation with a colleague or a neighbour, and they ask you, oh, what about this? And you go, oh, the Bible says this, and you can give answers to people. But most of all, let's be people who know God. The author through his word. It's God's love letter to us. Now think about a love letter. What do you do when you receive a love letter? You read it. That might be funny. You read it, yeah. Excellent. How would you read a love letter? Again and again. You don't just have to go, oh, yeah, and throw it away. You look at it, you get it, you open it carefully, you read it again and again, you clean every bit of sustenance and emotion, everything from it. Yeah? And it's like that with God's Word. It's his love letter to us. We need to be reading it like that. Showing my age, when Sarah and I first started getting to know each other, we were both through the same mission in the UK, and so we went to South Africa for a year. Now, just hold on to your chair carefully. This was pre-internet, pre-smartphone, pre-email. So I had to take this thing called paper, and one thing I didn't have here, a pen, and put Mark on the paper, and put them in an envelope, letters, and send them to Sarah, and she sent them to me. I loved getting those letters. I still got them. And it was just a joy to get them and to read them, and that was our way of getting to know each other. There was no email, nothing like that, it was letters. And the object was treasure. We really went to, it was our way of getting to know each other. We had a year of letter exchanging, that was our dating time. But it was a love letter. And God's word is like that for us, as a love letter to us. I want to play the final video clip for us of God's love letter. I've shown this one before in church, but I think it fits the very well with today's message. I just think this is God's word speaking to you. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to you through this and all that afterwards. Thank you, Anna. So I hope that encourages you to really get into God's Word, the Bible. Don't be one of the 5%. It's one of the most common ways God wants to speak to me and to you and to us. If you do read your Bible regularly, wonderful, keep going. If you find it hard, just start. Even start small. Talk to other people in the church. If you're struggling to read the Bible, how can I do that? Do you got any ideas? There's lots of ways that we can all help each other with. We'll share that. Just let me pray now to finish. So thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for seeing today, Lord. You have made us in your image. And you are a God who loves to communicate. There are different ways until we focus on today is through creation, but especially through your word. We thank you so much, Lord, for your precious word. I can have it true and perfect and right. And just pray, Lord, you will help us to get to know you more through your word. Help us to be diligent, Lord, because it's such a good thing for us to. The prophets of us, Lord, in this coming week, whatever we've got planned, just ask God for your peace, Lord, to go with us through this week. In Jesus' name, Amen. Okay.